It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com, spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. It is Friday. It has been quite a week, and I am thrilled to have in studio with me, first of all, Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors. You're one of my valued partners. It's great to have you here, Chris.
Thank you, Kim. Good morning. How are you on crazy Friday the 13th?
We're going to have some interesting conversations today, Chris Cantwell.
Awesome.
And Alan Thomas, a closet millennial. It is good to have you in studio as well.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You have written your first op-ed for our writer's circle, and that is going to be in our newsletter on Sunday. And it's Okay Boomer Truce. And I'm a boomer, so I guess we're going to have a truce today, okay?
Let's have a conversation, right?
Let's do that. And so be sure and sign up for that newsletter. It comes out on Sundays, and we've got a lot of great information in there. As many of you know, we have a salon series planned with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice on March 30th at Water's Edge Winery. And, you know, we're assessing the situation. I would recommend to go ahead and sign up. We're in a unique situation right now, but I would recommend that you sign up for that. The subject will be three punches to knock down democratic socialism. And with what's going on in the world right now, we need to arm ourselves with good ideas. I love to say thank you to my team, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. You guys, I really, really appreciate you. And Steve, it's your favorite day. It's Friday.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay, I'll go with that.
And also to you, our listeners, thank you. You're treasured, you're valued. Strive for excellence each day. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You've got a purpose, so go out there and do that today. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We see force all over the stuff that's coming out of this legislature down in at the State House, and we are shedding light on that. And get your brains around this and start to engage in the battle of ideas with friends, family, colleagues, neighbors, because we're in an ideological Normandy right now, Steve. I really think that we are.
Well, it is the battle of ideas, and that's kind of a unique phrase of words. It creates a unique picture in my mind. It's not the battle of fisticuffs. It doesn't need to turn into that. But get the ideas out on the table and walk through them.
And that's why we do this show. If something is a good idea, you should not need to use force to implement it. And I think I'm paraphrasing C.S. Lewis, that if you engage in the battle of ideas, and if you cannot defend your premise two or three questions in, the answer is not, oh, we just agree to disagree. No, maybe you need to check your premise. Maybe you need to say, maybe this idea doesn't hold water on that. You need to check your premises if you cannot defend your ideas two or three questions in. Steve?
Well, it can get rather ridiculous sometimes, too, and we see it in a lot of the conservative TV entities that are out there. They'll do the man on the street interview, and you'll stick a camera in a person's face and those an incredible amount of poison pouring out of the person. I hate Trump, until they say why, and they can't articulate it. And it's like, okay, you're obviously following a long line of people, but you really have no idea for, you know, what it is that you're saying or the reasoning behind it.
Right. So if you hate Trump, then you need to, and what you normally hear is, I don't like his tweets. Well, I might not like his tweets either sometimes. On the other hand, tweets, they're concise, and he needs to be able to talk to the American people to try to get through all everything that's going on out there. And I do not agree with him on everything. This paid family leave thing, this forced paid family leave thing, is not a good idea. But 90% percent of the stuff that he's been doing is been very, very good. And, you know, I don't agree with myself probably 100% of the time. So
I've seen that.
Oh, okay. We're going to jump in here in just a moment with these fabulous guests that I have. But, you know, a little bit of inspiration. As the market was in a free fall almost yesterday, I thought, okay, we got to go to Churchill. I mean, tough. Things were tough back in Britain in World War II. And Winston Churchill was the prime minister during World War II. He lived from 1874 to 1965, died at the age of 90. He said, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. My friends, the sun's going to come up again this morning, and we've got work to do. So, Alan Thomas, since we're going to be talking about millennials and boomers, I found this joke. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. A millennial convinced his grandmother that baby boomers are as dependent on technology as millennials. When she said, "You millennials are so addicted to technology," he quickly glanced at her life support system and said, "That was the last time she said it." Did you like that one, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes a very clear, concise point.
Okay. Our bill of the day is House Bill 201354, the Film Production Income Tax Credit. So that means that we have legislators that's going to make a commission that's going to decide who gets some more of your money, and it is the film industry. It creates the Film, Television, and Media Tax Credit. The credit is available to a production company employing a workforce of at least 50% Colorado residents for production activities. And how do you define Colorado residents? Is that somebody that just moved here, Chris Cantwell?
Yeah, I think as long as you're in the state.
You're a resident.
You're a resident.
So
we don't have any walls around the state. There's no borders.
Yeah. So, first of all, I think that's a little goofy. And it's for production activities in the state. And it could be in a prioritized area. That's code for picking winners and losers, Chris.
Oh.
And it's defined to mean a non-metropolitan county or municipality with a population of 150,000 or less. The credit is up to 22% of the total qualified local expenditures. For production activities not in a prioritized area, the credit is up to 18%. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, there is an article that was in CPR.org that Patty had found. It says, can this bill save Colorado's film industry from the brink after decades of movie studio neglect? Now, Chris Cantwell, first of all, and we've got the state legislature down there that is making labor more and more expensive.
Absolutely it is.
Okay, so you're making labor more expensive for one business, yeah. And then another industry, you're going to give them tax credits. What do you think about that?
I think that is a problem. It's an issue. You know, at the end of the day, it's amazing the amount of force that we put on small individual businesses and entrepreneurs and you know, just the craziness of the minimum wage and paid time off and benefits and, you know, all the things that employers are forced to deal with every day against their will. And then you come in and say, yeah, but gosh, we need the film industry here. We got to give them more taxpayer money to incentivize them to come because they're not incentivized to do it on their own. So, really?
Well, and you're making it more difficult for these other industries like you mentioned. I loved Brio restaurants. There, I used to meet people, friends in Cherry Creek,
yep.
And then there was one in Park Meadows. And both of them have closed.
Yeah.
And so we were looking at it last night, but they still have restaurants in other states. Now, I don't know the whole backstory, Alan Thomas, on this, but I do know that we are making it very difficult on restaurants. And so they have restaurants in other states. They're closing here. And I'm kind of like, I wonder if that could be because we're making labor so expensive here. Alan, what's your thoughts?
My thoughts on this is it's funny how they concede rather quickly that taxes are too high. I mean, this bill shows, hey, taxes are too high. We're not bringing in business. So let's cut taxes on this industry. And like you said, they pick winners and losers. But we should look at this and say, we completely agree with you. But why do taxes just have to be cut on this industry? Why not everywhere?
What a smart millennial.
Yeah, right?
What a smart millennial. That's why you're on the show today, Alan Thomas. But your point is right. And I, you know, when I was on city council, we have these economic development offices in local level, county level, state level. And I love the term economic development, Chris Cantwell, but what I realized is we were paying people to be in these offices, and what they do is they come in and they pick winners and losers.
Yeah.
Oh, and to your point, Alan Thomas, I said if it's better to give this guy a tax break so that they can be successful at business, how about we lower taxes across the spectrum, Chris Cantwell?
Yeah, well, the small mom and pop Main Street businesses, as I like to call them, are the ones that are hurt the most because they never get those benefits. You know, if I've got a little retail store on the corner and I go to the government and say, hey, I need, you know, this and that, and can you hook me up and can I get this? Absolutely not.
Right. And the other thing that I don't think people realize is we have in Colorado a business personal property tax. So that means your little businesses are having to pay taxes every year on like their pizza oven, their chairs, their tables. We need to get rid of that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these are businesses that are, you know, small margin. Some of these entrepreneurs that own these businesses make less than their best employees. And, you know, these bureaucrats that don't know what it's like to write a payroll check, to say, I'm not going to eat today, but man, I'm going to make sure my employees are paid. They don't understand that these are challenges that small business owners face every single day, and no one's looking out for them from a bureaucratic level.
From the bureaucratic level, that's for sure. And that's going to bring us into Chris Cantwell. I so value you. I value each and every one of my sponsors. I'm unique in the radio industry. I'm not just me, but my business model is such that I purchase my airtime for both of my shows. And there's great opportunity with that because I have full editorial control of everything. But that also means that I have to, you know, make sure that I have the lights on. And it's because of you and my other partners that this happens. And Hooters Restaurants is a very valued partner of mine. And we have quite a story. When I was on city council, they were coming in to get approval of their liquor license. First of all, I'm not sure that we really need to have government doing that. You know, but I tell you, the way they were treated from the dais by my colleagues, because there were people that didn't like, quote unquote, their uniforms and a variety of things. And it's like, wait a minute. This location, it had a liquor license. It is zoned for a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so what's the problem here? But we had a bunch of feminists that were, you know, had come to the meeting, and they were, you know, just, it was standing room only. And so I made the motion that we bring this to a vote, and none of my other colleagues actually seconded the motion, and ended up that it wasn't approved that night.
Yeah.
And so that night I went home and we issued a press release. It's like, is this really the proper role of government? And Alan Thomas, Facebook blew up about people really asking themselves, is this the proper role of government? And I had a neighbor that called me, and I don't think she liked the uniforms as well. And she said, you know, Kim, as a Christian, how can you be standing up for Hooters? I'm like, it is a freedom issue that if you do not like the uniforms, you don't have to go there. If you do like the food and the uniforms, you can go there. And they can compete in the marketplace on whether or not they will succeed or fail. It is not government's role to decide whether or not a business succeeds or fails. Alan, you look like you want to say something.
I mean, absolutely. Not one feminist was forced to go there.
Exactly.
That's the thing about small business, is you can support whatever one you want. If you want another wing place to succeed, go to their business.
Exactly. So the city attorney pulled us in in between the 2 weeks, and they basically said, you don't have a leg to stand on because of, you know, what we just talked about.
Yeah.
And so anyway, a couple of weeks later, their liquor license was approved. I waited until I was off city council, and actually waited a couple of years before I approached them about being a sponsor. And because we have such this freedom story together. And they have been such a valued sponsor to make sure that I'm on the air every morning. And we'd been doing this particular promo about March Madness and all. March Madness is now canceled. And I find that really troubling. And so a couple of things. I would highly recommend that go over to Hooters and have some wings, make sure that we keep this economy going,
yep.
or pick up some wings and take them home, but make sure that we don't stop living. When we go, we're going to go to break. When we call come back, I want to talk about March Madness being canceled because, you know, this is all relative to the market was down significantly yesterday. So we're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson, Kim Munson Show. In studio with me is Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors and Alan Thomas. He's written an excellent op-ed that we'll have in our newsletter on Sunday. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, MONSON.com.
Hey, I asked Charlie to put on some Zac Brown. I think that's it, but just needed a little happiness, I think. So, Alan Thomas, you've written this op-ed that's going to be in our newsletter on Sunday, and it's Okay Boomer Truce, and it's great. It's got some humor in it, and you know, we need to have a conversation. But before we went on air, we talked a little bit about March Madness, and they've canceled the basketball tournament, and this is like mass hysteria. And I'm thinking about these athletes that have worked so hard their whole lives to get to this point, and is it really necessary to cancel it? Couldn't we come up with some creative idea on how to make it happen? Alan, what do you think?
Well, one, yeah, I mean, it's just terrible for the athletes who, even the state tournament now has severely restricted the fans and how many kids get to even play in front of crowds like that. But second of all, this idea of public health is such an idea that absolves us of personal responsibility. Not one person is forcing me to go to a single community event. Nobody's saying you have to go to an NBA game. You have to go to a March Madness game. If you feel like it's a risk, don't go. This idea that we have to cancel everything because of one or two crazies who may go because they're exhibiting symptoms is crazy. But even for the athletes, they're not an at-risk population whatsoever. And I understand if we want to change things to protect the athletes, I totally understand that. But you're also taking something away from a lot of people that they've worked incredibly hard for, and it's sad to see.
It is really sad to see. Chris, what's your thoughts on this, Chris Cantwell?
You know, it's the unintended consequences. I've got two great friends that both work at Pepsi Center, and they've worked there for 16, 17 years. And now there's no basketball, no hockey. Pretty much the Pepsi Center is just going to shut down and turn off its lights because, you know, for God forbid, we have some sort of event where people are commingling amongst each other. But no one ever thinks about the unintended consequences of all of the jobs that are related to just the Pepsi Center, from all the employees that work there, all of the vendors, all the small businesses that help support, whether it's the food, the lighting, the music, everything else that happens at the Pepsi Center. Just think about all these unintended consequences that are going to happen because of the decision to force us not to attend these different events. Take away anybody's choice whatsoever. And just the economic impact of those kind of decisions, it's going to be painful for quite some time.
It is going to be painful. And I think there's a real politicization of this coronavirus thing. And certainly, Alan, you mentioned, I mean, we need to be smart and wash our hands, have good hygiene. We should have been doing that before anyway. And we as Americans typically do that, even though in China, where it's been really serious in Wuhan, 85% of those cases are mild. And so we're seeing this kind of pushing this mass hysteria. And the unintended consequences, if we shut down the American economy totally, then, and I see people kind of celebrating that in a way, yeah. I'm pretty concerned about that. Now Trump has put in a 30-year or 30-day travel ban, I think, from Europe.
Yep.
And people, I've gotten text messages as, oh, that's so irresponsible. That's so irresponsible. But yet they're lauding the fact that we are shutting down the American economy. It's not matching up to me, Chris Cantwell.
Well, you know, the goal on the left is to have government control everything. So this feeds into their larger narrative of, you know, small business is bad and making choices is bad. And how could you make decisions for yourself? We, the government, know how your life should be led. And this is the perfect opportunity for us, the government, to step in and say, you can do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. You know, watching, we know that they would love to see the economy crash, right? Because, wow, we're going to get back in power and we're going to control your lives like nobody's ever controlled your lives. Because you people, you deplorables out there, have no idea how to run your life. You can't make choices on your own. You can't make decisions. But I can, because I'm in government.
Oh, he had to drag out the D word. Well done, Ms. Cantwell. Well done.
Yeah. As I'm looking at this narrative, I agree with you. So your business, let's talk about this. Well, a couple of things. Whenever we have situations like this, there is tremendous opportunity. There are good companies that are a lot cheaper today in the stock market than they were a week ago.
Absolutely.
And so I just think that this is a time of great opportunity. Chris, tell us what you see in your business right now.
Yeah, so we're expecting to see a little bit of a pause. Now, our transactions, our deals take time. So I've got some things that I had in Anthony's Pizza Pasta that was sold yesterday. Some younger kids, some millennials are coming in and purchasing that business, and they've got some great ideas for how they're going to grow it and take it to the next level. And Anthony's is a great brand out of Colorado here. So deals are still happening. And I think what we're going to see is maybe some people pause. There are some businesses that are going to be directly impacted. Any restaurant downtown with all the conventions, I mean, downtown, shut it down, turn the lights out. Those businesses are going to be impacted. But there are other businesses that are going to grow and thrive from this, and whether it's cleaning businesses and testing businesses, and there's a number of small businesses that will benefit from this. What we're seeing in the market today is really, you know, you have the baby boomer generation that are reaching their late 60s, early 70s, that are selling their businesses to retire. Their initial goal or initial thought was, well, my kids will take over this business, and now their kids are in their 40s and say, Dad, I have my own career and I'm not looking at taking over your business. But they've got great businesses that need to go to the market. And the people that are coming in and buying these businesses are the millennials and the Gen Xers, you know, people probably in their mid-30s, late-30s, early-40s, even mid-40s that are buying these businesses that are established and have been around for years and years and years and have amazing abilities to grow. So I think what we're going to see in the market is there will still be buyers out there. And even if there's some layoffs, you know, sometimes these large companies that have been living fat for the last few years now look at their top tier people and say, hey, you know, we need to
trim
the fat a little bit. And that means layoffs and people stepping out of those roles. Well, those people become great buyers because they say, you know what? I'm tired of this. I've been working for the man. I've been working for corporate for 25, 30 years now. I want to go make decisions on my own. I want to run my own company. I've got experience. I've got some money in the bank. I want to be the decision maker. So it's going to fuel the buyer market, which is great. And then you've got the baby boomers who've been holding on and kind of, I'll go a couple more years. I think this is going to be the moment that they say, you know what? I'm tired of this. Mm-hmm. It's time.
And so I what I hear you say is there's great opportunity. For example, if you are getting out of a corporate job, maybe you've got severance pay or something like that. So this would be a cool opportunity, but it might be scary to actually step out and be on your own. So you have a team that you can make this whole thing work, right?
Yes. There's so many great resources that you should have on a team. You want to have a great business attorney. You want to have a great financial planner like Jason McBride. You want to have a CPA that you know and you trust and bankers that you know and trust. And even all the bankers that I've talked to this week are still incredibly optimistic. They really do believe that this is a short-term, a hiccup in the overall greater picture. You know, Trump did mention what he's doing with the SBA and granting them $50 billion to help small business owners, however we can help them. So that just opens up the floodgates for the banks to be a little more reasonable in terms of what they're looking for in some of these transactions. And they're not expecting any slowdowns.
Okay.
You know, we're going to have a hiccup, but
this is going to be a hiccup, but this is great opportunity. And I'm going to date myself. Jason McBride is on the line. I'll wait to date myself. But Chris, before we go to Jason, how could I, and actually I had somebody that reached out to me that wanted to talk to you, and I think that they got connected, but it was just the perfect thing. It's like, I want to make a change.
Yeah.
And so how can people reach you? It doesn't cost anything. Yep. And I think that today, this is a day of great opportunity. As scary as it was yesterday, I kind of had to, I had to step back a little bit. I lived through, I was a young broker in 1987. And I remember that day. And in fact, I just remember that day. And yesterday, I had to step back. And Alan Thomas, whenever I am really stressed, I clean. And so I went over and helped my kids. I cleaned their house yesterday.
Well, wow. You're well prepared for this coronavirus thing.
Exactly. They're well prepared. Jason McBride, I know that I'm dating myself to admit that I lived through the crash in 1987. But I was a little uncomfortable yesterday, and then I realized that there's great opportunity as well. Jason McBride, how are you doing with all this craziness?
Friday, the 13th. You may only see it once, but that will be enough.
Did you and Steve work that out together, Jason?
I had no idea.
Sure.
He was going to do something like that. No idea.
Okay, it's wild out there, Jason. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. Now, Melissa just told me next time you get stressed, she wants you to come over.
Okay, everybody get in line. If I'm having a stressful day, I'll come clean your house, okay?
Yeah, that's right. You're going to have to think of a business for that, and you got the right guy there to help you, too.
It works out that way. Jason, I think that there's some real politicization going on with this. And the market, you know, sold off big time yesterday. And as I mentioned to Chris and Alan, that good companies are a lot cheaper this morning than they were a week ago. I think there's great opportunity here, but you did some really interesting sleuthing on the media. Tell us about that.
Well, now, I didn't do the sleuthing. Let me mention some first, that the futures are up 1,100 points this morning, which is kind of a nice thing to see. It's been a while, so we might have a good start. But actually, Kim, on this info on the coronavirus, one of our advisors, Taylor Leary, who's one of our younger fellows in there, dug this stuff up.
Nice.
And there's all kinds of statistics on here about the contagion rates, fatality rates, and all that. But here's what I thought was interesting was the mentions in the media. And it goes through some of the other outbreaks we've had. So Ebola, from start to finish, 11.1 million times it was mentioned. HIV, 40 million times total. SARS, which was kind of the latest similar one, 56.2 million. That's from start to finish, Kim, of the whole breakout cycle. This coronavirus, so far, 1.1 billion
mentions
in the media. That's 20 times more than we had for SARS already. And a lot of the mentions, yes, are very political. They're very, downtrodden and downbeaten and trying to create hysteria and panic. And, you know, it's definitely working to some degree. Look at the stock market. I went to King Soopers the other day, looked down the paper aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Not one single roll of toilet paper on the shelves. Not one single one. Melissa went to Costco yesterday. She said it was a madhouse, and Costco didn't even have not one single roll of toilet paper.
Wow. I really don't know what to say about that. I guess if the world is ending, you need a lot of toilet paper? Is that what it is, Jason?
Well, you know what I thought was funny at King's is there was still plenty of bottled water. So if the world was ending, I'd rather have a bottle of water than toilet paper. Now, it'd be preferable to have both, of course. But, yeah, it's just funny to kind of actually see, you know, the hysteria playing out a little bit. It's the media, and every day you hear how this is worse and worse, and the market has certainly been affected too. So, but I agree with you. I mean, this is almost like a dream come true for the opposing side and their last great chance to maybe get Trump out in November.
Well, you know, I think there's a real play on that because I have a friend that really watches all the news and it is really kind of pulled to whatever the news says. And she texted me and said it's going to be President Biden. And I don't think she can vote for Biden. I think she would have voted for Trump. And then she texted me and said, I'm not going to vote this November. That is what they're trying to have happen here. And I think that this is going to be an opportunity for Trump to show the leadership that he has. And we need to stay calm. As the Queen Elizabeth said, we need to stay calm and carry on. But there is, I think, tremendous opportunity. I mean, this may not be the bottom. I think we're still going to see a lot of volatility in the market right now. But, you know, if you stay calm and you can buy some good companies, I think they're a lot, like I said, a lot cheaper than they were last week. But people need to sit down with you, Jason, and come up with a plan. When the market was at its high just a few weeks ago, you had said, you know, you may want to take some of your profits here and just in case something happens. I mean, to have a steady hand like that is very helpful. So, Jason, I'd really recommend that people sit down with you.
Well, I really appreciate that, Kim, and having a plan in place and, you know, understanding why you did the plan the way you did it. Understanding when you do the plan that here's what could happen during a period like this, and then being able to follow through and stick to the plan. I mean, there's so many pieces to, you know, to keeping yourself together in a time like this and for a plan to work. You know, it takes more than just putting it on paper. You know, when things get crazy, you need to remember why you did what you did on the plan and have faith that it's going to work out, you know, or else I guess you need to come in and change it. I don't know what to tell you on that, Kim. You can plan all you want, but sometimes, you know, it's like Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. But it's better to have one than to not have one.
Well, that's for sure. And your point here, mentions in the media, and you said Tyler in your office came up with this, is
Taylor,
okay.
Yeah.
Is Ebola, there was 11.1 million mentions, MERS 23.2 million, HIV 40 million, SARS 56.2 million, and the coronavirus, 1.1 billion. Do you not think that they're trying to create some mass hysteria? So sit down with Jason, your colleagues over there at Presidential Wealth Management. Reach out to them. I'd say maybe right now just via the website because you're so busy is airpresidential.com, airpresidential.com. I know you're getting back to people as fast as you can, Jason.
Yeah, and that's fine. And people can call as well.
Okay.
I'm a phone kind of guy, so... and we have more advisors than just me. That's for dang sure. So give us that call, that 303-694-1600. Sometimes just talking to somebody, you know, on the phone can give you a little bit of comfort or ideas too. So we are available, and our office has not been shut down due to coronavirus or anything like that. So call us and talk. We are there.
Okay. Thanks, Jason. We'll talk to you on Monday morning. And again, that's Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. We're going to go to break in studio. Alan Thomas, we'll talk about his piece, OK, Boomer Truce. And Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Sweet Anne, can I stay with you? Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and thanks to Charlie for playing some Zach Brown today. Alan Thomas, it is great to have you in studio. You are a millennial, and millennials have really gotten kind of a bad rap. And you've written an excellent op-ed. We're going to have it highlighted in our newsletter on Sunday, and it'll be on our website then. So we're just kind of doing a teaser for that. But it's Okay Boomer Truce. So why did you write the piece?
Well, Kim, like you said at the beginning, I kind of considered myself a closet millennial because for about 10 years now, we've been taking on all sorts of names, you know, snowflake, entitled, narcissistic, disloyal. And as somebody who doesn't think he's one of those, it's kind of tough to sit here and listen to all of this. And a couple months ago, there was a meme that started circulating that had OK Boomer at the bottom. And, you know, it's a clever meme, kind of funny. But, I mean, the outrage that occurred after this meme, I mean, there was a commentator that went on air that said it was the modern-day N-word
and just completely
disconnected with reality. And it made me look back and kind of think, hey, who actually likes being called names in the first place? Maybe as opposed to snowflakes being oversensitive, maybe we just don't like being called names.
You think?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've never... Spousal arguments don't get better if you call somebody emotional or lazy. My brothers never got any less annoying because I said they were acting stupid. So perhaps instead of taking these Facebook rants about millennials, we should look back and look at what are we changing the hearts, minds, and behaviors of people? Are we being persuasive? And the answer most often is not if you're starting out your argument with calling people names,
right?
Because immediately people just shut down. The other day I was at the gym, and one of my fellow, he was a little bit older, probably a boomer. He went back to his university for an alma mater day, and he sat in on a class, and he started out the conversation saying, I listened to this great class about climate change, and you must be a moron if you don't believe that we're destroying our planet. And immediately I start bristling because I'm like, you know, I'm an environmental scientist and engineer by training, and I definitely have my doubts, but immediately he's not going to sway my opinion whatsoever because he's calling me a moron. So if we're wasting our time and effort if we're not trying to persuade and influence people, which is a definite theme of this show, is let's have a conversation. And how's the best way to have a conversation? It's not to lead by calling people names.
So Chris Cantwell and Alan Thomas, you were both in the class, a leadership program in the Rockies class. What year was it that, Chris?
2018.
Now, Leadership Program in the Rockies is a program that brings they select 65 students each year throughout the state of Colorado. And they're starting, I think, in First class this year. And really brings people together to talk about capitalism and the American idea, and really to have a conversation. And to your point, Alan, is when you call somebody a moron, then instead of trying to defend your premise on climate change, you're not engaging in a conversation. I think the climate has changed, Chris Cantwell, because Colorado used to be a tropical rainforest, and then at another time we had woolly mammoths in the ice age. So climate does change. Mm-hmm. But I think it's this whole man-made thing. And instead of calling Alan a moron, maybe this guy should try to defend this premise. What do you think?
Yeah, well, so I've been told once back in the day that the sun controls the weather more than anything else on our wobbly planet that we have. So I don't know what happened to science there, but there's something about having this wobbly planet and why the climate's always changing that in the past, that used to be taught. Now it's something completely different. But, you know, just talking about, you know, what we learned at LPR, and it is, it's really about freedom over force and the reason for capitalism and all the benefits to human lives that capitalism has brought. So it's not necessarily a Republican, Democrat type of a program, but freedom over force and having active and engaged citizens and fighting for individual rights and the proper role of government, which at the end of the day is all about individual rights. So fantastic program from that perspective. But, you know, just the bigger picture of force, and again, going back to unintended consequences of force, and that's never followed. And in LPR, it tells you how to have the conversations like Alan's talking about. But it also gives you the economic perspective of the unintended consequences of force.
Alan and Thomas, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great program. It's obviously a nonprofit, so it doesn't have a political spectrum. But, you know, the flip side to that is also they teach you about persuasion, about how to talk to people to understand them. And a lot of that is very relational, you know. You have to know somebody to truly understand them and understand their point of view. And I think a lot of times when we have these conversations, we come at it with our thoughts and our ideas, and we just want to throw, mm-hmm. we want to talk at somebody as opposed to talking with somebody. And it's a lot harder to be persuasive than it is to just rant and rave about what's wrong. It's harder to do something than to just talk about it. So,
you know, Alan, I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas. And it takes work to engage in these conversations. With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation. And it's not. And so instead of talking with, for example, I'd written a piece that was in our newsletter last week on vaccinations. I titled it, "I Am Not an Anti-Vaxxer," because we've put labels on people if you disagree with them. But as I look at the vaccination bill, I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucratic commission or board the power to make rules about what we inject into our body. And it may be things that have not even been invented yet. And of course, it'll probably, they do it all under the guise of public health. But I see danger in that. And so I'd highly recommend that people read the legislation, listen to our show, get your brain around the ideas. We can disagree, but make sure it's because you are defending your premise. So, Alan, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said yesterday, you don't want to be put in a box because you waste all of your time and effort just trying to get out of the box. You try and get out of this idea of identity politics as opposed to actually debating the idea, which is what we should all be interested in, right?
Well, and that's, Chris Cantwell, that's what America was founded on, was deliberating the ideas, but always having this ideal of freedom. And freedom doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want. There is a corresponding responsibility and duty to freedom.
Absolutely. And what I like to say in the world of entrepreneurship that I live in is I work with people who create products and services that other people value because it makes their lives better. And you've often heard the phrase innovate or die. And that's what businesses have to do. So when businesses have an opportunity to go and solve problems, to make other people's lives better, they need the freedom to be able to do that. They don't need force telling them what they can and can't do, how they can operate their business, how they can't operate their business. We need to be able to innovate. That's how we grow. That's what's made America so exceptional.
Okay, explain that. You said innovate or die. Is that what you said? Okay, got it. Yep. And so we don't need government coming in saying, hey, business person, you have to pay this person this much. And they say, well, I can't pay that person that much, so I'm going to work maybe more hours, and I'm not going to
employ that person.
Not employ that person.
16 or 17-year-old.
Yeah, and
I could use a 16-year-old in my job for 8 hours a week to stand at the hostess inn and help seat my guests. But I can't pay them a living wage. They're 16. They don't have any work experience. So now our teenagers don't work.
Yeah. My first job was at the age of 14, Daylight Donut and Chicken Inn. And I should have paid them because they had to train me. But it helped me, you know, in my career throughout my life. And so government, get out of there. Let's go to break, though. Gentlemen, Chris Cantwell, Transworld Business Advisors, Alan Thomas, we want to talk a little bit more about what happened yesterday with the market and what we think might be occurring with that. Steve had found a really excellent soundbite for us, so you'll want to stay tuned. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
How come all the pretty girls like you are taking,
hey, baby? Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And if you go there this weekend, we're going to have Alan Thomas's great op-ed, OK Boomer Truce. And we'll have that in the newsletter as well on Sunday, Alan. So make sure you sign up for that. There's all kinds of great information. And so Alan Thomas is in the studio with me and Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors, a valued partner. Thank you. This is going pretty fast, gentlemen. You know it. But let's jump in here. Steve, you found a very important soundbite. So set this up for us.
It's Dr. Drew Pinsky from an appearance earlier this week on the Daily Blast. I loved it because, you know, the lady, she's kind of setting him up, introducing him, and he can't wait to get his, you know, two cents in. So it'll be apparent right away when you hear this.
So, Dr. Drew, are we overreacting?
Yes. Yes.
I'm hearing this from doctors left and right.
Yes, and we are not overreacting. The press is overreacting, and it makes me furious. The press should not be reporting medical stories as though they know how to report it. If we have a pandemic, I won't know how to tell that we're actually having a pandemic because everything is an emergency. Mm. People that are infectious disease specialists, the CDC, the epidemiologists, need to take this very seriously. The press needs to shut up.
I love it. And I wish I would implore and plead with anybody today. You're listening to media, major media. Think about who is telling you what, and are they really qualified to say what they're saying?
I think they're trying to crash the economy. You know, President Trump has withstood an onslaught of different attacks. And we realize that the American economy it's typically the stock market. What it is looking at is it's kind of optimism into the future or pessimism. And with all of this that's happened with the coronavirus, and as Jason had mentioned, 1.1 billion media mentions, and this has only been around for, well, basically we kind of started to know about it the first part of January. And so it is creating mass hysteria. Chris Cantwell, it also, mass hysteria can create opportunity, though.
It can. So here's my best Biden impression.
Do you really?
I have two words for you, Kim. You ready? Two words. Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And speaking of Biden, I heard him yesterday, and I need to probably go through this weekend, but the talking points are really important. He's talking about testing. And that we don't know how many people have the disease. It's not a disease. It's a virus. And so the words that they're using, and you're going to see this, I think, throughout the media, they're going to continue on because they want to create this mass hysteria. Tom Hanks and his wife came out and they said that they have tested positive. Justin Trudeau's wife has tested positive. Now, I'm not saying it's not serious, but if 30 days down the road, those three people are still walking around, which I think they will be, then maybe we're trying to use the media to create hysteria. Steve, you look like you want to say something to Alan.
Well, let him. And again, if you know, Hanks and his wife are still here, like you just said, 30 days from now, you know, what a better indicator. But what I saw yesterday was Fox 31 took their cameras down to the Costco in our neck of the woods, And all he did was hold the camera at waist level, and he walked the checkout line. And it went on and on and on and on. More importantly, it was not the number of people, but the number of people with more than one cart and what was in those carts. Those people weren't
toilet
shopping.
Paper. Toilet
well,
paper?
Yeah, probably. Those people weren't shopping. They were hoarding.
Okay. Alan, what's your thoughts on this?
I mean, it makes me really thankful that we live in a republic and not a democracy. This is a great example of mob rule being run by the media. This is what Tocqueville wrote about when he looked at the American founding, and he said there's a big problem with media running the crowds and running the mob, essentially. So we should be very thankful that we have a constitution to protect our rights and prevent the erosion of all of that just because of mass hysteria.
And when we see, Alan Thomas, that there are politicians, I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are using this to start to erode our civil rights, we need to be very careful about that.
Absolutely. My brother is a youth minister in Kentucky, and the Kentucky governor basically asked all churches to cancel all their worship services in the entire state. And this goes beyond just a religious issue. I mean, are we not allowed to have family gatherings? At what point are they going to take all of our control away from us? And we need to fight back and say, no, this is my life. I can choose to take risks. I take risks every day driving to work. So I need to have that personal responsibility and accept credit for my life.
Good point. That is from a millennial, my friends. Make sure that you realize that. Chris Cantwell, Patty had found this piece, this website. It's EFF.org, and the piece is Protecting Civil Liberties During a Public Health Crisis. And basically, it says that many times these PBIs will start to use this opportunity to chip away at our civil liberties. And so if there was ever a time to stand for freedom right now, I think this is it.
It absolutely is. You know, this is where they say, you know, again, it goes back to, you people, you know, we need to be able to tell you what to do. We're going to force you to do it against your will. We're going to tell you here's how you're going to live your life. And, you know, I think it goes back. You were talking about the stock market and, wow, people are making money. And the whole premise of much of the left is about envy. And when somebody has something more than you, that fuels them, that drives them. This goes back to the whole premise that if you own a business, you're wealthy, you're rich, you're going to hurt all the people that you employ, and you're this
evil
person.
Yeah, they said you built your wealth on the backs of others.
Yeah, because you're a rich millionaire that's running a small subway down on Colfax. It's just not the case, but that envy just fuels that need to say, we can't have that. The economy's good. People are doing well. Oh, that's horrible. We've got to stop that.
And you see that we have a coronavirus for the economy right down here at the State House, because these legislators right now are fueled by envy. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that with all the different legislation that's coming down the pike. And ultimately, envy doesn't, you can look at somebody that's successful and you can say, my gosh, if they can do it, I can do it. But Alan Thomas, with envy, they look at them and they say, I don't want them to have what they have, and we're going to use whatever way we can, a weapon policy or excessive and unpredictable taxation to take their stuff. So, gentlemen, we're about out of time. This has been so much fun. Alan, what's your kind of your final thought on all this?
Well, one, I think our state legislator needs to, if they care about public health, they should shut down the session for the rest of the year, but we'll see if they actually follow through with what they actually believe.
That would mean they couldn't pass any more laws on our lives then.
Right. All those bills that they pushed off to the last few months that they like to just ram down the throats of the legislative session, I think they'll still stay in session to get that done. So,
you know what? I think we should start to call for that. If we're going to shut down basically the state basketball tournament, then maybe we should shut down the state legislature. Steve, you look like you want to say something.
But, Alan, what about the chicken bill?
We got to have those protected eggs.
We can't let that go flapping in the wind.
Oh, did you hear him yesterday? He said that was a very foul bill, and it is. Okay. Chris Cantwell, what's your final thought on all this as well?
I've come to the conclusion that the coronavirus must give you the runs.
Oh, boy. Okay, so, gentlemen, I have something that I would recommend for people. First of all, the Queen said, stay calm and carry on. Be industrious. I left the station yesterday, and I was a little off. And Zach and I were talking. He goes, Kim, you're normally, and this is quite his words, but you're stalwart. And I'm like, wait a minute. I got to get a grip here. And so be industrious. And so clean your house. Do something productive. Help a neighbor. Don't hoard. If you're going to be in your house, you know, turn off the TV. Read some Shakespeare. Read a great book. Don't read junk. Read a great book. Give to your church. Do something productive. That is what I would recommend. So, Chris Cantwell, Trans World Business Advisors, thank you, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kim.
It's been a lot of fun.
Always.
Alan Thomas, thank you for this op-ed that you've written, and people can find that this weekend. It'll be on my website. It'll be in the newsletter. Be sure and sign up. Okay, boomer truce. So I think we have a truce. What do you think?
Absolutely, and thank you for the opportunity. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here this morning.
So do you want to write another op-ed next week, next month?
Absolutely.
Okay, so stay tuned. We'll find out what that is. So today, again, the quote is from Shakespeare. He says, do not let us speak of darker days. Let us speak rather of sterner days. These are not dark days. These are great days. The greatest days our country has ever lived. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Bunson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a